Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Of things I want to say this morning before I get started with the message, which, by the way, is going to be out of Jeremiah chapter 29, if you want to go there. But I just wanted to say one of the things that I really appreciate about this church is that the people here know how to worship. They really have a desire to enter in and to press into the presence of God, and that is just such a wonderful thing. My wife and I, for several years in a job that I had with another church denomination, would travel across the state of Washington and some of northern Idaho and Oregon, and we have been in some churches that really had no idea at all about how to worship. You know, they would sing a few songs without any enthusiasm, without any spirit in what they were doing. It was kind of dull. But one of the things that I really enjoy about this church here at Zillow is people seem to want to press in to what God has for them. And I appreciate that very much. Let me mention that if you're a visitor with us today, or if you happen to see someone who is a visitor at this time or any other time, if you could give them one of those little cards that are in the seat back pockets there, and just ask them to fill that out and then take it at the end of service back to the coffee shop, and we'll give them either a hot cup of coffee or, and not just regular coffee. Nobody drinks regular coffee anymore. Starbucks ruined the world. or something cold as we have summer coming on. But if you could do that, we would appreciate it very much. Anyway, I want to speak briefly this morning, like I said, out of Jeremiah chapter 29. Let me give you a little background of where we're going to be. At this time, most of the Israelites have been taken captive and moved to Babylon or wherever else that the king of Babylon decided to send them, but the majority of them were in the area of Babylon, and some of the false prophets that were within the group were giving out a message that didn't come from God. But the message was, you know, this is soon going to be over, and everything is going to be hunky-dory. Well, Jeremiah sends them a letter that has the message from God that says, don't get in a rush, because some things are going to be happening here, and I want you to get the full gist of what God is trying to do in their lives. A little background is, like I say, the people have been taken captive to Jerusalem or to Babylon. The city of Jerusalem has, for the most part, been laid in waste. The lives of the people have been totally ripped up by the roots. They find themselves as being strangers now in a foreign land. Their hopes are totally shattered. And their dreams are dashed to pieces. They just feel like they have lost everything and that there is no future for them anymore. Do you ever get that feeling sometimes about like they were? Did you ever feel like that your world has been turned upside down by circumstances that you couldn't control? Did you just feel like everything that you believed in is now just a pile of ashes around your feet, and they're making chains upon your ankles that just keep you from moving forward in what God wants for you? Have you ever felt that way? I know I have a couple of times in my life. Well, one of the times is when somebody said something about me that I didn't like at all. And for years, it bothered me. It just held me back and did not let me move forward in God. But every time I heard this man's name, he didn't even have to say anything. But when I heard his name, my stomach just twisted up in knots. You ever been there? Yeah. Yeah, that's where I've been. My everything was just so overcome by the way this person had hurt me that it just stopped me from moving forward and doing what God wants in our lives. But you know what? I've got good news for you if you're in that position, and that is that God is not done yet working in your life. You know, however, what he is doing may take a while. I said it was years. It was about 3 years that this just gnawed and ate on my insides and just was the most incredible, awful feeling that I've ever had. I went to a camp meeting the final year of that terrible situation in my life. And I forget exactly the message that the minister preached, but it caused me to go over to this man and confess what was going on in my life and ask for his forgiveness. You know what he said? He didn't even really know what I was talking about. You know what? That's the way it usually happens. The only person that I was hurting during that whole time wasn't him. It was me. You know, that was years of misery that I went through. Sometimes we let things like that happen in our lives. But even if it takes a while to get through those situations, we need to not be impatient and we need to not be discouraged, because God really is working. You know, I hope the lesson that I learned, and I think I've got a hold of it, is that to no longer let anybody have that kind of control over my life. That's what really happens. He was controlling my life from afar and had no idea what was going on. Absolutely none. I was the only one hurting. It's amazing the things that happen in our lives. I told you that Jeremiah wrote a letter to the captives of Babylon, and I'd like to share a little bit of that with you, starting in chapter 5 of, or verse 5, I beg your pardon, of chapter 29, where he says, "Build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit. take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, so that you may bear sons and daughters. Now, I want you to get a hold of the next couple of phrases here, because I think they can be key to some of the things that happen in our lives. Now remember, this was a 70-year captivity. I trust that none of us will go through a 70-year captivity. But we will go through prolonged periods in our life when things are not the way we want them to be. They will be because of situations that we've got no control over, we can't handle them, but things will develop that will just bring a cloud over us that we just seem like cannot get out from under. But look at this. In the midst of all of that long period of time and the trouble that the Israelites found themselves in, when everything seemed to be dark and going the wrong way, look at what God says. Says that you may be increased there and not diminished. Can you get a hold of that? What that tells me is God is working on a plan. Even in the middle of what to you and I seems like the most tragic of situations, I don't know, what's the worst thing that can happen to a person? Lose a spouse. And I know people that have lost spouses or any other loved ones. I know of a family that lost a young man to a drowning accident. And it's been years now, and they are still suffering as if it was yesterday. I know that we get through these things at different times according to our own personality and our own makeup. But if we do not turn our eyes in the right direction, as we heard this morning, we get ourselves in the position where we just really lose all hope. We think nothing is ever going to be good in our lives again. And yet, through the midst of that, God is working out something good for you. That's why he says, in the middle of all of this, I want you to increase. I don't want you to diminish. So he says, go about doing those normal things in life and look to me and begin to see what I am accomplishing. What good things are changing in your life so that tomorrow, whenever that tomorrow does arrive, will be better than it is today. He says, I want you to increase and not be diminished. Look at verse 7. It says, and seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. You get that? How many of you like what you're hearing in the news these days? You know, it seems like this wonderful country of ours is going to hell in a handbasket just as fast as somebody can run with it. You know? And then right behind it is the rest of the world. There's wars and rumors of wars all over the place. Guess what? That's somewhat normal. It's to be expected. Except I don't necessarily like it. I don't like what's going on in this country. I don't like homosexual marriage. I do not like the ungodliness that is, like Billy was saying this morning, statues built to ungodly whatever they're going to be. I don't know. I don't like the fact that it seems like you can't trust anyone in government anymore. That's just the way it is. We're going to have to live with it for a while. However, there is something we can do, and the words that we just read in the book of Jeremiah said to pray. Pray for the city where you are. Pray in the midst of the circumstances you find yourself in. Pray for the leaders of that community. Pray for the leaders of our state. Pray for the leaders of this country, because only as they find peace will we have peace. Amen. Now, some of the situations I don't like at all. Some of the people, I can't say they're my favorite folks in the world. But you know what? If I'm going to have peace in my life, if you're going to have peace in your life, we're going to have to pray for them. We are. Sometimes I find that very difficult, but yet it's what the Bible says to do. Pray for them, because I want to live a peaceable and godly life. And that means that I can't do it by just making myself as godly as I possibly can. You know how you do that. You read your Bible every day. You pray every day. You pay your tithes at church. Don't forget to pay your tithes at church. You know. Do all of those things. That's not going to give us the peace we want. We've got to have peace around us as we have peace within us. Let me go to Psalms 139 and show you something about how much God cares about us, because sometimes we just get the feeling nobody cares. I can live, I can die, doesn't matter. Nobody cares. Psalms 139, starting at verse 13, says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. Oh, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them." That tells me, no matter what situation I find myself in, God knows me from head to toe, and He knows me inside out. He knows everything about me. He can count the hairs on my head, which doesn't take a lot of effort. Some of you takes more effort on His part than mine. But He knows us. Even before we were born, He formed us in our mother's wombs the way He wanted us to be. And you know what? He didn't quit there and walk off and leave us alone. He didn't leave us alone after that job was done. That was just the beginning. That was just the beginning. Because He stays with us all the days of our lives and directs our paths, as much as we let Him, into the ways that He wants our lives to go, which, by the way, is the very best path for you to take. You may think you know better, but trust me, you don't. Because you don't see what tomorrow holds, He does. He does. And what's happening in your life today is preparing you for that tomorrow. Not only did God take us or make us, but He still thinks of us. And those thoughts, you know, He says, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God, and how great is the sum of them. Think with me for just a moment that those thoughts are more meaningful for our lives than we can possibly imagine. And He thinks about us every moment. We are constantly, constantly on His mind. Those times when you feel like He has totally abandoned you, when you pray and the heavens seems like they're made of brass, when you do everything that you can think of, you pick up His Word and you try to read it, and it's nothing. All of those times, you are not alone. God is there with you, thinking of you every moment of every day. Every moment, every moment. You know what? Let's just take a look at what He's thinking about. Go back to Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. This is God speaking to the people. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. I want us to get a hold of that. God's thoughts about us are thoughts of peace and not of evil. There are times when we think even God has turned His back on us. There are times when we think, why did God let this happen? How can it possibly be that I'm in the fix that I'm in now? And we would almost think in our discouragement that we turn those things around and we get in our minds that God's thought toward us are evil and not of peace. That's tragic. That's tragic. But you know, folks, it happens sometimes. That's what we call backsliding. You heard the term? It means you start thinking of God just the opposite way of the way He's thinking about you. His thoughts toward us are of peace and not of evil. Why? So that we can have a future and a hope. You know, in this country that we live in, there is something happening that is really tragic. I just can't really grasp it at all. But it's a thing called suicide. Have you heard that? You know what? We are having more suicides in this country than we've ever had before. The numbers just keep increasing and increasing and increasing. And there is a tragic part to that I don't know whether you've picked up on or not, but the age of those people participating in suicide, it's getting younger and younger and younger. We have preteen kids committing suicide. Do you ever wonder why that happens? I think it's because they don't know that God has thoughts for them to give them a future and a hope. They are so hopeless in their feelings. They are so hopeless in their heart. They are so hopeless in their minds that there is just literally nothing left to live for. That is a lie, folks. That is a lie. There is much to live for. We just need to get on the right path, start looking in the right direction, and realize that our hope and our future is in God and God alone. I don't care what statues they put up in New York City or Oklahoma City or San Francisco or any place in between. There is no hope in any of that, but it's in God and God alone. He is the one who says, I think about you all the time. I think about you all the time. And my thoughts are to give you a future and a hope. We need to realize that's the only place that it comes from. In fact, when we come together in a church setting such as this, there is something that I hope you find. In every message that we hear preached, we need to realize that God is offering us a future and a hope. Whatever the preacher is preaching, look behind that to find a future and a hope. Because you need it, folks. Tomorrow just may not be a very good day. Tomorrow is Monday. Just in case you didn't realize that. Every time that you come to this church, my earnest hope is that before you leave to face the week that is ahead of you, that you realize that God is thinking thoughts of peace and not of evil about you, and that you do have a future and a hope. It is not a maybe thing. It's written in concrete because God wrote it down. Yeah. You've got a future and a hope. It's that we need to get a hold of. Every time we come together, every time we leave this place, we need to take that future and hope with us, and we need to spread it around. We need to let the rest of those people out there know that God really does have a future and a hope, and He is constantly thinking good thoughts about you. Amen. You got unsaved loved ones? I do. They need to know they really have a future and a hope in God. But that's where they've got to go to find it. They're not going to find it with a psychologist or a psychiatrist or a doctor or a lawyer or anybody else. They're going to find it in God. And I think that's about all I want to say today. I just want you to firmly get a hold of that verse right up there. I would like for you to read it and read it and reread it until you've memorized it. So that when things start going south on you and things start getting rough and tough and you seem to be losing on every hand, I want you to realize that God's thoughts toward you and the thoughts that He will bring to pass are to give you peace and not evil, and to give you a future and a hope. Get a hold of that. If you do that, you can stand steadfast in anything that the world throws your way. Get a hold of it, church. Get a hold of it.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.